which is that with the first two reports together, that is now the mechanization report and the one on Mafisa. Mafisa, I have one better question. So let's start with those together. Thereafter, we do the veterinary services report, which is number two, item number two. The report officially, this one, the fisheries people are not here today. Maybe between the chairperson and the department, something was said, because this is responding to the questions. This is a comprehensive report that they forwarded to us. So, it's for the members to read. But I think in that order, let's start the meeting. But before we start, I would ask the acting DG to have a word in order to wrap up to wrap the meeting, the first part of the meeting, professionally. Thank you.
Chair, thank you. I just wanted to confirm that we have received directives. We are going to do as the committee has directed us, and we will revert back to the committee. Chair, thank you.
Thank you, Acting DG. Then let's proceed with our meeting.
Chair, thank you. We will start with the report on the mechanization. Mr. Msomi will talk to that report that we have submitted. Thank you.
Thank you, Chen. Thank you, DG. I'm referring to the three-page report that is titled Mechanization Report to Portfolio Committee, June 2013. This report is in response to the question from the Portfolio Committee. I'll reiterate that for the equipment that the National Department, the Department of Agriculture, purchased, these tractors for all nine provinces were sent to the provinces, and most of them are affected. I'll just refer the tractor reference to the date where in that 50s the tractors have been set, handed over by the premier to the cooperative by the even the provincial association staff. And they have been fitted with checking systems to prevent them from being stolen or lost. As they have happened in other sectors of the community in northern Kwazulu Natal. These equipment or tractors have a 2-year maintenance agreement as part of the initial contract that it will continue. We've had discussions with the HOD, Mr. Tavete. He said these tractors, once they've been allocated to the cooperatives, are now will be moved to the different towns so that they are near to the people who will be utilizing them. So what we're going to do is that in the absence of a national policy framework in August, we'll bring for the board framework, because the tractors are being utilized using a provincial different policy. And we are going to be formalized with our board framework. We want to refine it to reduce the number of violations, like in other provinces, the farmers or beneficiaries must pay, and of course they don't pay. We want to state so that we make it investor what category of beneficiaries that people in each and don't feel relatively across all provinces. So, the WDG will commit to bring that model to this house by ACA. That model will have to go through the policy structure to what have a three category based on what is happening in the province. Some farmers, some tractors and equipment, you don't. at the state, like in Mpumalanga, and other areas to the cooperatives, other areas to the farmers themselves, when mothers are funding this in the Western Cape, where they've been exempt from project, when they've been extracted into exempt from project, then they will maintain it at their own cost. But the province, provincial government will have to cost to us. So these are three categories, if I can repeat them. Maybe the state owns and manages this, and then the minister has alluded to this in their budget speech estimation. So if this continues, we must find a way how to maintain the same. The second category is where we have got cooperatives. So we give
the point of clarity. Now, on the document on mechanization, officials, I suppose you are talking to. We don't get much of the I mean, I don't follow.
Where the
is usually routine and just have anything quite good. It's not from the same day, make a position, turn the tire, and it becomes a serious problem. And then the equipment is the local office, so we find this instructor sitting at different data center, so you can attention officer, then some are requested at that level. Service, as long as our friend is the provider to service and maintain the equipment, additional equipment from DAF, they have their own tractor, so they must cause a huge increase of tractor. This is the same as also funding from Malam. So we managed to plow, I think it's 22,000 for the health foundation, for the beneficiaries. And then therefore the policy which is approved by the MEC, the team. That should be what's in that town. If you go to Limpopo, Limpopo received the 2013 different projects. The services provided to users are offered to spread from the existing program in Limpopo. You will see in Limpopo they had a program where the farmers they have a debt to buy tractors, both the farmers, banks, and the project portfolio of their scheme. And there was a separate scheme where the staff, capital and tractors are also running together for different projects that we've managed in that sector. So here in the Congo for the evaluation of the two, there was a state and also a privately owned by SMB working together, that is in the Congo. In Mpumalanga, I think we all know that from the state, the equipment is 1182, that involves in Natal. These are the first two programs that they actually and presently launched in the program in Pomara. And all the equipment is accounted for, provided as a funded service provider, who managed this office. I think about more than 70 tractors, both fitted by staff, which can tell us an existing fleet that the individual already purchased by Pomara and the Department of Agriculture. And a service provider who operates and maintains the equipment and also who also provides in terms of the identified in terms of the local policy, which is caution of speed. There's a close collaboration between the local government and the province on the program. The province have also purchased the equipment, as I've mentioned, to those in the cloud of 30,000. Another tip. Tractors are on the asset register of the province. So in Mpumalanga it's state owned. And then in Northern Cape, tractors move to develop and identify the project. Tractors are not yet registered. The equipment currently moves to the project. Some of the equipment needs to be disseminated, sampled for transportation and assembly. For example, they have a set project with the transfer to the current assisting the good distribution of tractors. So here we have to register tractors. So hopefully, at the beginning of the season, starting in the season, we should have been ready to utilize this season. Now, here again, the state owns the tractors, and they will own the branch. Northwest, the equipment donated, or the equipment received, or capitalized by staff, ready to the existing program run by the province in the equipment that are ready to be. So here, they had tractors of 18-15 pages under different conditional grants from DAF. All the equipment is registered in operational at the present of the fact. Now the province has this problem of getting the equipment operational. I think most of them are also in the late triangle of the project which they quickly interact. And they have also very smooth relationship with Green South Africa, which has been on that. So this is from the interact in the system, figure out what we need. When you go to the Western Cape, it just has to be registered in April 23. DAF paid for the listing of the microchip. They are still up for the session about the 2015 problem with Minas. So I think Western Cape is piloting the microchips and all the equipment. From the appointed service provider, which is Capital, to operate and maintain the equipment as well as implement support program to the children of the government. The equipment currently tends to be the developers from the from the drone plans and suspicions of shells that they set up the project and business with approved by local government before the investor. That is awaiting annual report from each province on the implementation program and outcome which will rely on the public. That is also used for planning boards. Maybe that if I can go back to the broad framework that is looking at this various programs, various ways of implementing the mechanization program, learn to refine and solve your issues, and also meet on the issue of paying the advocate on the three categories, so if you can say, state, where the certification to pharma, or the cooperative, so I think it's the middle of the question. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. One should just indicate that we have not altogether overcome the problems around mechanization. Perhaps just to revisit that, initially the intention was for the provinces to be recapitalized because a number of them were already running mechanization units. And run the mechanization program within their existing programs with broad frameworks. Of course, what is becoming clearer is that in some provinces, this is running well. I think in most provinces except three. And it is also becoming clear there are quite a number of variations. And this is why in the framework that we are revising, to limit this to just three models. One model is where, as you indicated, where it is the state that completely runs the program. The other cases where the cooperatives are running the mechanization program. And in the third category where it is being run privately. And we are also indicating to the three provinces, we have colleagues who are in the first day today, to say, can we finalize this by June, now preparing for the next farming season, in which case where we do not get the cooperation, we get indicating to the province we may have to relocate those units to where they are needed most, because they understand it. We have provided units for a particular purpose, and we expect them to serve that purpose that was intended. Thank you.
Thank you. And we said that we were going to do them together so that we will be able to keep our solution for speed.
Thank you, Chair. Just go the report was basically answering certain questions that were asked. And we have responded to those questions. I'm not sure I can summarize through each one of them, whether you wanted me to read through them. Ms. Machiza, who deals with both trust, Martisa is not here, but I will go through this if you want me to go through them. I think the first question was around the beneficiary, who is the beneficiary in the context of MAFISA. And I think it just made clear that it could be an individual. In the case of a family, the family would be considered as one beneficiary. In the case of the cooperatives, various members of the cooperatives would be considered as the individual beneficiaries. Whether CASP and MAFISA are using the same funds, the answer is no. They are separate. The MAFISA funds are separate from the CASP. The CASP, which will be indicated down as you go down, that there is a grant fund that goes through the provincial departments, whereas the MAFISA sits with the land bank and is implemented through the intermediaries. The question number three was why other provinces were not mentioned. All the provinces are included. It just depends have received the report, and that is an improvement. We are bringing it on board to ensure that the provinces would receive the report, and therefore will be able also to do the monitoring. In terms of the, does DAF conduct physical visits? Yes, the DAF does that, and particularly for the newly funded project, to even ascertain what is going on, what is their understanding, and how are they being serviced in that case. And lastly, the relationship between CASP and MAFISA. The MAFISA is a pillar of CASP. There is the grant portion that is administered through the provinces, which is what we normally refer to as the CASP, whereas the MAFISA is the loan element of the CASP that is being administered by them through the intermediaries. And that's basically where the distinction exists. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Captain DG.
The chair, sorry, we were requested a list, a very big list. We are providing it in the electronic form of all the people who have benefited from all the in all the provinces. We have that on the members. It's just a big list. If we're to print it, it will just be very, very, very long. We are providing that from our office in the electronic form to the secretariat.
Okay, thank you. We will expect that to come. Remember, these are the responses. Now, I'm not sure whether all the questions here are being responded to. Let's see. Followed by Mustaine, followed by Ingos Kodekul, followed by Mama Swane, and Baba Usman.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, you see, on the 12th of March, I asked the department and the acting director general, Mr. Tongela, was present, that at a particular old showgrounds in the Free State, there is a whole lot of agricultural equipment. It's not just tractors, Jefferson. It is plows and rippers and fertilizer distributors and trailers and wheat killing wheat killer, what's your name, machines, all those things worth millions were lying on an old showground in the Free State, and we were told that within 2 weeks we will get a report on it. Never happened. Now, the question was that this equipment was delivered, well, it was brought to that showground in October last year. And the plowing season was sort of about to end at that time. Planting season had started. And that at the moment, you are in the harvesting season. Many have already harvested. But those tractors were standing there right up to last month. All that has happened, Chair, is that those, not the tractors, all those implements, tractor is also an implement, are now parked off in a big barn where the Well, those of you that saw the Balan Guardian last week, Gupta's in the land of milk and money. That particular project, where they're creating a massive dairy, I understand. It's part of there now. Now the question is this, Jefferson. It's fine. We all want to see our people empowered. But are people empowered when the equipment is bought with taxpayers' money and it is part of? October to last month is 7 months, almost 8 months. And now it's again part of somewhere else. So my question is this, Jefferson. What has been put before me here? I must say respectfully, Mr. Trump. I must say very respectfully. You've actually told us nothing yet. What did you say? And this is my problem with the department. You are administering billions of rands of taxpayers' money. If this is the way you wish to account for millions of rands worth of equipment bought, then this is a very poor account. Extremely poor. Now I ask the question, must I now accept what Dr. Mkhize said? That once we hand over equipment or whatever to the provinces, we don't have any structure as to how do they account. How do they account? Must I accept it? I'm not prepared to accept it. Because what we are doing is we are shortchanging our people on the ground. Our people on the ground should have benefited from that equipment last year. Now, I've heard now that you are planning to work out some or other scheme or plan as to how these things should work. Why must we always do things when the horse is bolted? Why do you want to close the stable door when the horse is bolted? Before you decide to give millions of rands or equipment in cash of kind, shouldn't you have a policy or a program in place? And what I want from you is I want to see, not me, this committee, wants to see what is your written arrangement with every province to whom you are allocating money. Because remember, that a global amount is appropriated by Parliament and given to the national department. And from that global amount, you are making allocations to the provinces. And if you come and tell me that you don't know how that money is spent, then we are on dangerous ground. On very dangerous ground. I mean, yeah, out of the monies that you people have appropriated, a particular province decides that they are going to establish a massive dairy project. And it is reported widely that they spent 50 million rand on consultancies. When you have in South Africa an organization called the Milk Producers Organization, they've been in existence for donkey's years. They can give you a blueprint very quickly. If you want to do a particular project, they can tell you this is what you should do, this is what you should do. You don't need consultants to come and tell you that. And then spend 30 million rand, that is the alleged amount. So, Jefferson, the issue here goes far wider than just the mechanization project. The issue here is how does the province account to the department that has given it funds to run a particular department which seems to be or happens to be a concurrent function. We need to know from the department. Then Chairperson, you say that in the Free State now, you say that the equipment is still on the asset register of the province. All the tractors are fitted with tracking systems. The maintenance agreement and warranty of the equipment serviced satisfactorily. I don't know what it means. The maintenance agreement and warranty of the equipment serviced satisfactorily. I'm stupid. I'm ignorant. I don't understand English. I don't know what it means. So in short, Chairperson, what I expect from the department is to say that yeah in black and white are copies of our arrangement or agreement with the province about how these things shall function. So if you do have something like that, let us have it. Then Chairperson, I think what we also request was that we want to know what are the exact numbers of the various forms of equipment, they all mostly referred to tractors, were purchased for each province. It's not here. So Chairperson, it's a sense of bother. And I'm asking the acting DG that as the accounting officer, I expect that documents emanating from your department must be beyond reproach. You must not leave gaps for people like me who read between the lines. Now, Jefferson, you are told here that the province managed to plow 20,000 hectares in the previous season for beneficiaries. Do you have a mechanism to monitor that what the province has told you is the truth? I have great doubts that this is the truth. Somebody just takes a ballpark figure, 20,000 hectares were plowed. And we must sit here and accept it. And then, Chairperson, there is this other question here, for example, now in the Northern Cape. Mpumalanga. Okay, they say that the province have also purchased equipment additional to those received and have serviced more than 30,000 hectares during the previous year. Again, it's just a ballpark figure. Did it in effect happen? What is your monitoring mechanism to verify that this sort of thing has definitely taken place? You see, Chairperson, if the lines of accountability start becoming blurred, then we are skating on thin ice. And this is what I'm trying to tell the department. Perhaps this committee here has been reasonably lenient. You don't know what sort of committee you may inherit after the next general election. And then Chairperson, Northwest. They say here that the Northwest province had the least problems of getting the equipment operational. I want to tell you, a couple of years ago, we did an oversight in Northwest. And we came to one project near, I think it was called the Driefontein project, if I remember correctly, near the town of Lichtenburg. What we found there was brand new equipment. Two Massey Fergusons, and a variety of other equipment. And those people could not work that equipment because, unfortunately, they were not given money for diesel and for seeds and fertilizer. So those tractors just too. So I don't know whether this is absolutely true. In short, Chairperson, if this is the style and quality, you know, any person from outside, Chairperson, let me read this report. Well, they definitely start laughing. Because the report does not say much. And I want to conclude by telling you the following. And that is that in 2008, a community in Pongola had received land. It was restituted to them. And in 2008, approaches were made to your department. And they also wrote to the president. and their lands were, well, the farms were handed over to them, sorry, through land reform. They also wrote a letter to the Minister of Agriculture in 2009. They even give you reference numbers. They also tell you here, and they name the official, so I can also name you, that a letter from the DG was received by them, reference 09/23347, I take it 2009, and that they sent Mr. Andile Horst for assessment. And he apparently promised them he's going to advise the minister to make available 10 million rand in funding. Nothing happened. Nothing happened. They say here that on the 14th of July, they received at 2012, at 2:45 p.m., they received a SMS from the minister who said, I'm happy that you've been assisted. Now it's almost a year now, they claim, and they still heard nothing. Now, what I'm asking, Chairperson, is that here we receive a scant report, which says that. Here people on the ground claim they've heard nothing, they don't get any assistance. Or, may I ask respectfully, is assistance reserved for those that know people in high places only? Is assistance partial? Or are we there to assist the broad community at large? So, Chairperson, again, this report is also equally worrisome. We don't know what kind of agreements the province has with the National Department. What I can see is that the provinces do their own thing. They are totally unaccountable, and the National Department had better see that they keep track of how the funds that are made available to the provinces are spent. But at the end of the day, the buck stops with the National Department. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. The order is that the minister stand. Honourable stand. Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, I want to start by telling the department that the DA will be voting against the agriculture budget this afternoon. And I will tell the department here why. It's exactly for this reason that the Honourable Aram has mentioned now. We approve a budget every year, and then we get to court that tells us nothing. I want to explain again the job or the role of the portfolio committee. It's not to sit here and to read these things. I could have thought this out myself and present a two-page report on mechanization that tells you nothing. Our role is to monitor the work of the department. And in our free time, in our spare time, which we actually don't have, we actually get on the ground. I want to go and check. If the report that you gave us today on mechanization is actually what's happening on the ground, if I give you Acton BG this two-page report, will you be able to go and monitor if the tractors and the implements that this government paid for is used to benefit the people? Will you be able to come back next week and report to me, yes, the tractors and the implements is working on the report that I got today? If you can do that, you are actually the genius, because I can't do it. That's why we ask the information. So I want you to understand, why are we so adamant about this? We use this information to go to the ground to check and monitor. We don't just sit here on a weekly basis and get information. We actually go out on the ground, we speak with people, we find out, I'm so happy, I heard you got a tractor, show me. And I can get on the tractor with you, and together we can plow and do things like that. That's what we do. And we are really beyond frustrated with that. I want to make an example of last week Friday, when we discussed the last of funding. I asked this last year, last week Friday, again I have to say, we got a list with three figures on there, to some 20 million and so many millions. It tells us nothing. we wanted to know, Chair, how much was unaffected. Firstly, how many disasters have been declared? Secondly, how much was unaffected? Thirdly, was that money spent? If it was spent, where was it spent? So that we can go and check if it was spent. The same thing was attracted. The same thing was caught. The same thing was Matisa. We don't want to know mechanization in this province what on the state system. We want to know how many did they get, where are they, where were they used, what was they used for. I actually don't know what to say. And what frustrates me, not as if it wasn't years this for the first time, I've just said what we said last time when we discussed mechanization, when we discussed coffee stuff. We said the exactly same thing. So we are wasting our time here, Jay. We are really wasting our time.
Thank you, Honorable Sten. Mama is then Baba Mistu. We're gonna have to look at it all. Thank you. Jefferson, if I can go to province to province, which I would not do that because I want the time to do that, maybe I would just take 2 or 3 provinces, for example. Let's look at the Eastern Cape. They are saying the equipment are registered. It's on the asset register of the province. All the equipment distributed to the various points from where it operates. The initial city problem sorted out and the program runs really well. But my question are this: in which projects, in which districts, and which cooperatives is what we want to see? Because you know, if a society, as the committee, we want to go and oversight in Eastern Cape, where will we go? Because there are no districts, there are no names of projects, there are no names of cooperatives. How will you oversight in such instance? For example, again, let's go to Free State. They are talking about the equipment that's been transferred to the cooperatives. How many cooperatives? Where, in which district, and what are the names of this cooperative, and who is in charge of this cooperative? When you write a report, you write in such a way that it explains itself. Or in Limpopo, in district of Bembe, or in Sikukune, or in Mopani, or in Waterbeck. There are so many projects, These are the names of those projects. So that when we go to Limpopo, we just go straight to Bembe district, straight to the projects which are written here. Now, I can go on and on and on. It's the same. And they are just, they are there. And where else? You know, indeed, we oversight in what industry. But instead of it, not where. Where we have seen many mechanisms, just not where. It was not tractor. And all these things, just plowing and planting, whatever. And I don't know if we have time. Maybe next year. Unfortunately, we don't have time because our program will not allow us to go there. If we go where we have seen this thing today, really we will find what they are written here, or maybe those things are still lying there. I doubt. I doubt. And you know, that's why I'm that I just want to make one or two examples to say, you know, it's not the report we are looking for. We want a report. When you read a report, when you read it, you understand it with the names and places and whatever in the report. But something which is just general, you know, you can't call it a report because it's just general. It doesn't tell you where, if you go now.
I think you have made your point.
Yes.
Thank you. Because on this report, on this program, already, the update from the 27th of July to the 11th of August will be going to do exactly what you are saying. Not well, but it is a proposed program that we will input on it on Friday. So what you have said is there on paper already. Thank you. Martin, I wanted to add something because at 1 o'clock we should be out of this meeting. Quick, and then let me tell you how are we going to talk now. Baba Mstiman, Ndate Sobekulu, Ngosi, and Manya Lungu. Thank you.
That exactly shows my point. If we go out on overtime, we will just get to a province and they will tell us, oh yes, it's like this and this is what's been done with. So we must know if that is actually the fact. If the fact is we're not driven there overnight so that when we arrive, there's traffic there, no class would think it's funny. These things happen. So if we don't have something now, that when we go there, we can actually check and know for ourselves this is real and on the ground and not just put up. We've seen how this flat thing built before. We go for others like to say that there was a program there. We've seen things being taken there the day before. And this happens because we don't get reports in Parliament. They can fool you, but they can't fool us, maybe. So that's why we need these things.
So, for that emphasis, Honorable Simon.
Thank you, Honorable. To a very large extent have been covered by Honorable Abrams. So I'll ask only one question. At the end of the presentation on mechanization, we read that is awaiting an annual report from each province on the mechanization program and the outcome here. Now my question is whether that is then satisfied with this kind of monitoring. Secondly, I would like to know, once this report has arrived, how does that interrogate the report and how does that verify the outcome? I'm asking this because, according to my own experience, the mechanization program has totally failed. It is failed in the region where I come from, which is Uganda. That region should be important because that is also where the president comes from. We, the people of Uganda, expect that the whole region is important, not just the home state of the president. But for the past 4 years, the trekkers have come to plow and they only succeed in plowing in February. We then tell them that February is too late for May. They say, good enough, we are going to give you beans. In that area, and in fact in the whole of are just beings. People cannot live on maize. Maize is the staple food of us, and maybe for others it could be rice, it could be something else. But you always prioritize maize. And if you are serious about maize, you have to come in October. That is the maize plowing season. So in our own experience, in the past 4 years that this program has been operating in that region, not once did they succeed in plowing for the people on the ground maize. This is why I am saying the project has failed. But the presenter will help me here to say in his experience what does he read from the reports that he gets from these provinces. Because it is the national department that allocates funds, and therefore it should rest on the shoulders of that department to ensure that these funds are not wasted. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think my honorable members have taken some of the things that I was just to raise. In fact, mine was looking at the presentation. The presenter gave the figures of the number of traders that are affected from projects, but on the paper, nothing appears. So then that's why the question is arisen about a number of factors. The only thing I want just to raise in the meeting that one of our pointed out, where he displayed the photo or the picture of the tractor of the first day. I, Chairperson, raised a question too, that in case it ends, I want the department to sort of find out for the community. There is an Inkosi who has a fleet of tractors in KZN. And I ask the question, can the department establish whether that those tractors are part of the tractors that are allocated through the system that the department allocated tractors to the provinces? So it was, I even went on to say he is subcontracting, he's taking those tractors out to plow fields in some areas. The only, one and only. And he has the best machinery of the region. He's using John Deere's, the big one. And Chairperson, I may put that again. In my budget debate, I pointed out that I went to Umsi, where I found about 10 tractors, all broken, parked in the government premises, the district of Umsi municipality. And Chairperson, if one compares what that one tractor leader who has a fleet of 20 years and all the equipment in his castle, and the one that are allocated according to tribal leaders, but they are all kept in the agricultural offices of the city. So I was hoping, Chairperson, whether maybe the department will still give us information on whether those tractors owned by the OC Zondo, because I found that owned by the OC Zondo, are part of the tractors allocated by the department of agriculture. That's what I wanted just to find out. According to the officials who were present at that meeting, they said they found out that they reported that to the committee, which is the hotel.
Thank you, Baba
Ingos
Tolukulu.
Issue of service provider. I just want to check
if there's no such a continuous statement, why can't you change it so that they can do the job?
I think the department must make a commitment on what Bob Sobukuru is saying. Maybe we should get a return, not necessarily to take a return, but just a response to that. You know what he means. Must not wait for, August. Because if we talk to the actual problem that we have, the poor problem, if we get information in relation to that, because we're in KZN. By the time we're in KZN, issues of management of the problem, some were in Mozambique and so on and so on. Yeah, story. Yes. The issue of police. The time we were told about this police framework, the department said to us that the thing that the limitation they had is that they delivered equipment without having a national framework to guide on how this should be done. And by that time, when they raised the issue, it was to us an issue that was more urgent, the police framework, because everybody was doing as they like in terms of problems. But sitting here, I didn't want to say anything, but sitting here thinking that if that policy was right, why even today we're still talking about a policy framework that is not implemented? And from your presentation, you are not saying on when is it going to be implemented. And how long does it take to develop really a policy framework? People have a crisis situation. This is not that a legislation that is going to take a very long period of time. As if we are comfortable with this kind of an operation, piecemeal operation. And this is major investment of government. And we do not have clear control measures. But the control measures we are talking about, the policy we are going to talk about, and the limitation here is that you see the ones from steps you mentioned in the first day that they put their own tracking systems. It's a good thing, I'm not saying it's not good, but if there was a standard approach at the national level of running this thing, but I really fail to understand that if policy is urgent, why can't we urgently, like us, of tomorrow, have this policy that becomes a guide for the whole country. I want to know, really, when is it going to be a policy that is in operation? Thank you very much.
Another the acting DG indicated that Mr. Nshinga, who was supposed to respond to this question, is not here today. Why is she not here to come and answer questions?
Sure, I hope I didn't create confusion. The mechanization problem aside with staff. So I was just asking on the NAFISA that it was, there were just questions that were answered, and the information we have, this is a detailed table that I said we have, the electronic which we provide, we have. I just said Ms. Chisa, who is part of this program, has not been able. that will continue to create a bit of confusion when you see the tractors as to which ones are these. Are these the ones that were provided by DAF? Are these the ones that were bought by the province? Are these the ones that were purchased privately? But we were providing to add onto the units that they had so that they would run them completely. And indeed, there are arrangements, and we will provide as we transfer the units to the provinces what the arrangements were. The units are, or the tractors particularly, are provided with a warranty for that period, for a period I think of 2 years. So we'll clarify that. But some provinces, if you're asking on the whether we have mechanics to maintain, some provinces they have, others do not necessarily have, and that's the capacity, the in-house capacity that we should build if, and in those cases where the state will continue to run. That is, if we follow the model where the state will continue to run the mechanization unit. But if we use the other two elements, the cooperative model or the private, then a different arrangement. We will go into a different arrangement. In terms of the monitoring, that's just to say the mechanization, it's more a means to an end to support the food production program. Now, although this was the first year, ordinarily you would want to see where the tractors are working. You would also match that with the number of hectares. And the number of hectares are being reported under the food production program. Per province, how many hectares have been done with this unit, how many have been done with the other private units. I'm sure Mr. Msomi would have other details on some of the issues. But yes, our plan is to finalize this framework by August. We have the drafting process that already started on the mechanization.
Sorry, now you say by end of August is on implementation. But the policy is ready as a national guiding policy by end of August.
We have the drafting. We are currently the drafting. We expect that by the end of August it will have gone through the approval process in preparation for the next the COVID season.
Thank you, Chair. On the annual report that should come, it's part of the allocation letter. This was the first stage. And I think the former acting DPG, Timakarvan, has shared this with the committee member. This month, ending, where we gave the copy of the allocation letter. Then that allocation package letter actually it is a property about those to give us all on the name of the project, the number of the tasks, everything. So that annual report, once it will give Jarawa to give the conclusion, then the Jarawa committee to do a monitor. Then in ourselves, we'll go and monitor and check the information that we do with the annual project. So, my understanding that we have submitted that we'll resubmit them about 9-7 times that have to be given for in this respect, and then by the report, I mean the report that is in the organization. I think the other element that we need to take care of is DG to be more, is that we need to do more DG. Maybe I don't know whether on the deadline.
say it's 569 animals that died. An investigation was done, and it was clear the major effect was the cold spell that happened around that time, finding very weak animals at that stage, and there was not necessarily any signs of an infectious disease. And Mpumalanga Veterinary Services provided a report, and it is being the situation is being monitored by the Veterinary Services. We the understanding that there is really nothing serious beyond except that incident, that the unusual incident that occurred at the time. But I want to let Dr. Majati go over for this one and go to the other veterinary reports.
Thank you, Acting Bishop, and once again, good morning, honorable members. The report that Mpumalanga submitted to the department has been attached and circulated. Investigations were conducted, and it was concluded that there was no reason for concern with regard to animal diseases. Samples were collected, and the most that we were worried about was anthrax, which is a disease that results in animals being alive today, and tomorrow when you wake up, half your head is lying on the side. Anthrax was fortunately ruled out, and so were other diseases that we worried about. It was then concluded that it was a combination of malnutrition. Some of the animals were pregnant, which predisposed them severe malnutrition and the consequences as a result of that. And the cold spell that was experienced during that period basically resulted in the mortality that were reported. If I may, the next report is with regard to the evaluation that the OIE conducted in October of last year. Members will remember that we had a protracted engagement with the Red Meat Industry Forum in the sitting, and it was agreed from that, from those engagements, that we will invite the OIE to come and evaluate the veterinary services of the country. That mission started on the 1st of October, and it was concluded on the 19th last year. The report, the final report, has been presented to the department and is going through the internal processes. There is an action plan that we have outlined. Basically, we need to go back and request the OIE for further assistance. And in the report, when they submitted it, they indicated that our veterinary services is a little bit more complex than what they have experienced and what they had envisaged when they drew up the whole program. The next step that they normally take carry out is a gap analysis with all the other member countries. They've advised us that because of the complexities, they would rather come and assist us with the veterinary strategy. And a letter will be sent out to the OIE inviting them to come and assist us with that. But while we are waiting and waiting for the OIE to come in and help us with the veterinary strategy, we are already planning a series of engagements with our stakeholders in the SOE and different industries. A workshop has been set up for beginning of July with the provincial veterinary services, and that will be followed up by a meeting or workshop with the Red Meat Industry Forum. The Veterinary Council, the University of Pretoria, the laboratories, Honest Approach Veterinary Institute being one of them, and the other pharmaceutical companies will be contacted and consulted on an individual basis, because the challenges that are identified with them are different and they require individual attention. open, that's a, an open workshop where the general issues would be attended to. On the second page, apologies, I did not paginate my document. On the second page, there's an action plan basically outlining the process as we indicate from our side. By the end of July, we are hoping that we would have consulted with the relevant stakeholders, and we would be in a position to present to the portfolio committee the proposed action plan. The report that came from the OIE basically has the findings. They then recommend solutions to the findings, and what we intend to do is to look at those findings and the recommendations and see what is practical and sustainable in our unique situation, and that is what we would be presenting to the portfolio committee, Chairperson. We are hoping that the OIE would avail a team to come and assist us with the rest of the consultations towards the end of the year, and the envisaged August, September is basically just our wish list. That date is subject to the OIE availability, and hopefully it could be sooner than that rather than later. And yeah, if the OIE is then available during that time, we are hoping that the final proposal will then be presented to the portfolio committee somewhere in November, or at least by the end of this calendar year. I have also in that report quoted a few statements that came out of the report, basically with the team indicating that they were relatively pleased with the veterinary services of the country and that we were operating at a relatively high level of advancement against the recognized OIE standards. They, however, pointed out a few weaknesses which are outlined in the report. Also, what they presented in the report is that we are operating once again at still a very high standard, but we are at a crossroad. And Acting Chairperson, I think this is where the action is actually required, and we would welcome the support from the members, and hopefully the process that we are envisaging would result in sustainable solutions. They're indicating that we're at a crossroads between a bright future and a rapid decline. I can already hear Honorable Abrams saying the same sentiment, that the bright future is if we act, and we act now, and we correct the deficiencies that have been identified, and if we leave it lying, we're in a rapid decline. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. I believe we have three roughly complicating factors or issues we need to deal with in terms of veterinary services. The one is around the management arrangement. Several people who are indirectly the veterinary council have been calling upon government to reflect on the centralization of the veterinary function, which is a constitutional complication that I'm sure we'll have to go and take through several processes. The second area, of course, is around the resource constraints and resource ranging from the human capacity in the various areas, the veterinary, the paraveterinary, our research capacity, that will have to be maintained and be improved over time. And that would have to be to happen with attendant resources. The same with the infrastructure. Quite a number of our infrastructure, whether it's laboratory, whether it's our other facilities that are required, require quite a lot of recapitalization, and we believe that as we will be working on those plans over time, costs that we can expect that we would have to deal with those issues. Of course, lastly, it will be the technical capacity also largely continue to affect the SOEs. I think some starting point has happened already, but when we start the total and comprehensive planning strategy is finally made out, it will show even much more how we require to address the constraints and resources. Thank you, Chair. If you don't mind, I would have preferred we have Dr. Mwebubi here, who's supporting us from OVI, and Dr. Cornelius, because the totality of the strategy, other links are sitting with the units, and if the Chair doesn't mind, I would just want them to make their inputs here, particularly that they hear. Thank you.
Thank you, Esteemed DG. I think Mr. Kapanaka, there's a good question.
Thank you, Chairperson. We are working closely with the department on this matter because of it being also of interest to OVP. And the acting DG is quite right. To some extent, some of the recapitalization has started, and it has already started. For instance, I can speak for OBP, that Treasury has made funds available over the MTF to upgrade the facility so that the ability of producing vaccines are improved, and also for us to make sure that we are more responsive to the market to have vaccines available on time and not done with shortages, which has been the problem in the past. And so we have the linkage with the department, and we are working together on this issue. We will also participate, obviously, in this action plan with the dates that have been agreed, and bring in our perspective on the matter as well. So that the department also understands where we are coming from the area of vaccine production, because in a sense we also support their work, because if there are no vaccines available, then obviously there's a limitation in terms of how they would deliver their service. So, thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Members for this opportunity. Within the context of the Agriculture Research Council, I would say it would, in a sense, support pretty much what Dr. Cornelius and the FDG have indicated. We run pretty much all the major diagnostic laboratories that the department uses for the animal diseases. And we also try to provide some of the key vaccines that actually can only be directly to research and cannot be disseminated and run and produced by OBT. We've already, as we reported previously in the AFC to this committee, that we've received some funding in terms of rehabilitating, revitalizing the country's ability to produce the foot and mouth vaccine. And that work is ongoing. I have to point out that there's been very, very good progress so far, and we will come back later towards the end of the year with probably a very good update with the reports. It's very likely that within the next year the country will be self-sufficient in terms of the ability to deliver the more vaccine. It's taking us a lot of effort and a lot of energy.
thank you for the best report.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, these reports are naturally encouraging. And you see, sometimes we don't realize that the livestock industry is the single largest contributor to the gross domestic product of agriculture. And we need to nurture this industry and develop it further. I don't know, Chairperson, but it was of very great interest to me last week to read that former Minister Penwell Maduna, together with another businessman, had bought a pedigree Bonsmara bull for 1 million rand last week. Which means that increasingly our people are getting involved in the breeding of top quality stock. Now we need to support these initiatives. For example, Chair, for a very long time, OPP was not capitalized. I'm glad to hear from Dr. Cornelius that there is something happening. But I would venture to say that there is not enough. You know that the ARC was also left to their own devices for a very, very long time. They also need to be assisted with more funding. And what is very crucial for us, Chairperson, apart from the fact that we need to regain again our status as an FMD-free country, there are several other issues involved. We are not spending sufficient funds with regard to veterinary services. For example, as we speak here, in the Free State, small-time farmers who call upon the state veterinarian for assistance are unable to access assistance. Because on the one hand, they are told that there are no vehicles available to come out to them. On the other hand, there is a shortage of basic requirements. For example, you know, those tubes in which they draw blood in order to do tests, like for some of the diseases. So I think, Chairperson, that along with what we've heard today, we need to get an update from the department about the state of veterinary health services in each province. And unfortunately, it also becomes one of those concurrent responsibilities. And sometimes I wonder, Chair, whether certain key sectors of our economy, of which livestock is a very major one, should not be treated as a national priority. Because if the provinces are unable to carry out certain services, and unfortunately, the sector is going to suffer. Now you take, for example, Chairperson, an ordinary person in a rural area who has, say, a dozen head of livestock. That person is in no position, that is his bank, in no position to get a private veterinarian out to come and assist him or her. You are dependent on the state making available such resources. So we need to look very seriously in our budgeting processes to see that such key services are not left to their own devices. So, Chairperson, I want to encourage whatever you've done thus far, but I want to say again, it's not enough. And because I say it's not enough, I'm calling upon the powers that be, the state, to see that it does enough in order to nurture this particular sector of our entire agricultural value chain, because it's very important, Chair. And you see, Chair, the other thing is that livestock is one of the quickest and surest ways of increasing wealth for rural people. unfortunately, our rural people, and I think I want to take on Dr. Muepeli on this one. I have said since time immemorial, what we need to do in order to improve the genetic quality of our rural people's livestock is not only embryo transplants. That's an expensive way of doing it. But by taking some of the rural youth who are jobless, but who have a passion for livestock, and train them in causes to do artificial insemination, and let the state subsidize the price of a straw of semen, and that those youths, together with rural communities, train one another after they've been trained. So how to take note of animals that are on heat, and at what stage should they be inseminated? That is one of the surest ways of increasing the genetic value of our livestock. So I want to implore upon the department to look at these things. I don't want Dr. Muepeli to take his meager funds that he gets and try and create that program out of that. The department should flag that idea, and the department should help to do that. And you know how much capital will be required, chairperson? You equip such a young person with a flask with nitrogen in it and semen straws in it and a little scooter, so that that person can go from village to village. A cell phone, of course, is a necessity, and most of our rural people have them. In that way, chairperson, we can, within a very short space of time, increase the genetic potential of our people's animals. The situation at the moment, chairperson, is that our people there, and for understandable reasons, try to run for numbers. If I have 20 head of livestock, I'm a wealthier guy than the one that's got 10. But we don't look at the quality of bulls that they allow to service their animals. Many of them are diseased, many of them are of a very poor genetic quality, and what we need to teach our people is that better quality and better genetically advanced animals will improve your income. And once that takes root, we will be able to have our 48% of the livestock in the hands of people who are disadvantaged will be able to compete with the best of the best. And I salute all those. I see in this week's Farmers Weekly also the story of a businessman and actually a graduate who has also started a Bonsmara stud, which means that our guys are looking at improving genetic quality, and we should be backing them up. When the government buys bulls to help rural people, they should look at these people who are now breeding top quality genetics and support them in their quest to make a proper living and to contribute to the genetic improvement of our livestock. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Reverend Abraham.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you also to the Dr. Macha for the presentation. Chair, just one, firstly, we did not get the report from the Mpumalanga veterinary service. It's not attached in our document. If we can get that report, I would appreciate that. Then, Chair, also I have to say that I'm happy to see that there is progress regarding this OIE report. I don't know if the portfolio will only receive a copy of the report or a copy of the outcome of the discussions or what it is that we will receive, because we actually, you're going to need us if you are going to get money from Treasury. So it will help if we know what it says, if it's good or it's bad or it's mixed, it doesn't matter. We need to fix whatever is wrong. Then, Chairperson, we also need to get some information. I don't know if it will form part of this discussion in your process or later on the foot and mouth free status that was not African. We can do these kinds of improvements, and we can do whatever we want. If you work with the sick animal, nothing will fix it. Not even if you bring in vegetables and all kinds of things. So I'm pleading to the department, give us whatever you can so that we can assist you, and that we don't have to discuss this for the next 5 years. That we can get to some kind of a program or what we need as soon as possible so that we can improve this. There's an outcry out there from the commodity groups. They also want to fix this, but we can't fix it if we don't know what's the problem. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Kelly. Now, the time is 1 o'clock.
Also, Dr. Cornelius, while you were here last time, you said the report of Dr. Swallowbrook will be made available, and we are going to go back to the harvest, as far as I know, to handle that.
Thank you, Honourable Members. In wrapping up, because of the time, we will be doing the minutes tomorrow at 9 o'clock in the same venue when we listen to the briefing from the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries and the Forestry Charter Report. Now, to wrap up, we will be waiting for the report, for the submission on the table on MEHA, PTYFTC, and then on the 13th of August, the report will be presented to the committee. And also, we are having one member to input on this program, because we are having the oversight meeting on mechanization of the district. So we need input from members of this program. And then, meeting tomorrow. I wish to thank the department and all the entities that are here about all the reports, and I think it's work in progress we hope all what the members have said will be taken seriously this time. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you to the DG. Thank you.